Hi, everybody.
Hi, everybody.
Happy March.
Happy March and welcome back.
Yeah, welcome back.
We are spring ready over here at the podcast.
We are spring ready. We're ready. We're about to start softball.
Oh.
Y'all are starting soccer.
Sure. Mm-hmm. So spring sports.
I'm good.
Here.
Your boys don't play baseball?
Praise the Lord, no.
You can't do one more thing. I know.
I love outdoor sports, but baseball does not excite me, and it eats into our summer.
It does.
I like to be a no summer weekend sport mother.
Yes, and it's every weekend if you play baseball.
Yeah. No, thank you.
Yeah, yeah. It's like that for softball. Actually, fall baseball I think is nicer because the weather's better. Like in the spring. Well, today it's freezing. You've got to have a coat on. And then next Saturday, it may be 82. I mean, you just never know. So
I saw that. And actually, even this weekend, I think it's supposed to be cold, even though today it's Friday and it's cold. That the Little Rock Marathon, they're starting like 2 hours earlier because it's supposed to be so warm.
Really?
Yeah. And listeners, if you're not from Arkansas and you are a marathon or half marathon runner, you should check out the Little Rock Marathon because they give out the biggest medals.
Are you doing it?
No, ma'am.
We are moved in and I've got to get back to running. I know for my mental health and just anxiety and everything, I need it. Yeah. Tim's worried about me running because of the road we live on.
Oh yeah, you can't run there.
Well, I bought me a flashing vest.
You still can't run there.
I think I saw Heidi running over there.
Well, I'm going to tell Heidi Lynn not to run over there too.
It maybe wasn't her, but I thought it was. I'll go down to the primary school or somewhere.
Yes, I think that's
right. Yeah. Okay. So we're back to dyslexia because, Laura, we tend to think of it in all negative terms. And on the last podcast when we talked about dyslexia, the last one in which we talked about dyslexia, we talked about accommodating for students with dyslexia. Mm-hmm. But one thing I like to do with my students is help them find their strengths. And so I thought, especially for teachers and even parents or dyslexics, we need to spend some time today, and it'll be short, talking about the different kinds of strengths that are specific to dyslexics that enable them to do great things. That's why 40% of people who work for NASA are dyslexic, because they have a different way of thinking, which is a great thing. Makes reading a little problematic and spelling sometimes, but
in our homes are different. Different people have. Hold on, I'll clip that. We have these students in our classrooms or in church groups or wherever, and so always playing upon kids or human strengths is a great thing.
It really is. It really is. And when you're job is school.
Mm-hmm.
You're a student, and that's your job. It defines who you are. Mm. And when it's hard all day long and you're defined by that, it can really mess with a student's, as a young person's, it can mess with an adult's self-esteem, but it really can. So I really tried as a mom with Landon particularly to really play his strengths. And so there's a book called The Dyslexic Advantage. It's a great book. I recommend all parents and teachers of dyslexics to read it.
Okay.
The author, let's see, I just need to click that. The author identifies four strengths, and he uses an acronym, MIND, M-I-N-D, MIND strengths. They stand for material reasoning, interconnected reasoning, narrative, and dynamic reasoning. So those are the four strengths, the four categories in which people tend to fall who have dyslexia. Have you heard of this before?
I have not. I'm hoping you're going to go in a little deeper on those, are you?
Well, I am.
Good.
So the first one is material reasoning. These are the M strengths, the M in mind. And M-strengths look like a blueprint. It's like being able to see complete three-dimensional building.
Mm.
That's why they're really good at like Legos and that kind of thing. While non-dyslexics can do this, a dyslexic person does it very easily.
Okay.
It's just very natural to them.
Just kind of, they see it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like an architect can see it. I really think this is my strength because when we were planning our house, I planned it out first on, I laid post-it notes out on the floor mm-hmm. to show like where it needed to lay on the piece mm-hmm. of land that we had, the way the rise and fall of the land and the trees that I wanted to keep and so forth. And then I drew it out on graph paper and then I got a program and I drew it. Well, and Lindsay's an architect, so that helps. She kind of coached me.
Having a daughter who's an architect is really nice.
Yeah, it does. But it's the ability to see things in three-dimensional.
Okay.
In three dimensions. I think this is really Landon's strength, too, because mm-hmm. I told you when he was three, he put together a working motorcycle.
Yeah.
He built it. Yeah. So anyway, architects tend to be good M strength people. They M strengths make good mathematicians.
Okay.
They make good engineers and designers, architects. They're very good mechanics. Remember, I told you my brother took apart a motor at 9 mm-hmm. years old and put it back together. Contractors. They're good surgeons, Laura, because they can visualize internally how those systems. They're good painters and artists, sculptors, photographers. You see how that being able to visualize and conceptualize things in three dimensions could really be a benefit to a person. Mm-hmm. And like I said, you don't have to be dyslexic to have that strength.
Right.
But it's just much more natural to dyslexic.
It's natural. Okay. Mm-hmm. Remind us that M stands for?
It stands for material reasoning.
Material reasoning.
Material reasoning. Here are the trade-offs. Symbol reversals. Mm. Because I see things in 3D really well.
Mm-hmm.
And that D.
Yeah.
Here's what way it's turned. Some language challenges. They mix up some words.
Okay.
Trouble calling up words. Einstein did poorly in math, but showed amazing creativity when he got out of school. Now, isn't that something?
I listen to a bunch of podcasts. I mean, a bunch. And I love my favorite ones are where they interview people. And so many famous people, and not even just like famous celebrity-wise, but scientists or, mm-hmm. you know, profound people in our country, a very common theme is that they struggled in school.
Yeah. They tend to be late bloomers.
Mm.
Yeah.
And I think so many times school and vacation Bible school have a mold, you know, and a lot of kids don't fit in that.
They don't. They're like a square peg in a round hole.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when you think of M strengths, think 3D and spatial.
Okay.
That's kind math.
I can kind of think math, 3D.
Yeah. 3D and spatial. Mm. Yeah. Okay. But there will be trade-offs. With each one of these, with that strength, there's a trade-off.
Okay.
So M is material reasoning. I is interconnective reasoning. These are the I strengths. These are seeing unique connections that other people miss. Hmm. They see different perspectives and different approaches to create a big picture view. They're out-of-the-box thinkers.
Okay.
Okay, I'm going to read this. Because of the greater distance that the neural signals travel in the dyslexic brains, dyslexics with eye strengths are great at making unusual and creative connections between things. See, it's those neural connections in the left hemisphere of the brain that cause the reading difficulty. It's not efficient. But because of that, this group of people who have interconnective reasoning, they're really good at thinking of something that nobody else ever thinks of.
Hmm.
They have the ability to see how phenomenon like objects or ideas or events or experiences are related to one another, how things are problem solved. I think you can have more than one. I know I talk about Landon on this podcast a lot, but
that's okay. He's a great kid.
Oh, he's precious. He's precious. But he is in environmental health and safety.
Okay.
And he was working on a paint gun that they use to spray these huge pieces of machinery that they build. And he noticed, he was looking at the blueprint of it and looking at some that were put together, and he realized that they were put together incorrectly. They've been having the cost of the paint in their facility has been out of proportion. They've been spending way too much money on paint, more than they should have. And it's that the cost ratio is off. So he started looking around at all the other paint guns in the entire factory. These are big $20,000 guns.
Wow.
And they're all put together wrong. Every one of them.
Goodness.
I know. So they see how these things work together.
Okay.
And so he could look at it from a different perspective, and no one had noticed that. He's just, well, he just turned 26.
Mm-hmm.
Wednesday, but you know, he's just this young guy. He'd never built one before. He'd never built one of those guns, but he.
Well, I think it was just so wise to even investigate. Maybe there's something wrong with the paint gun.
Yeah.
To look deeper.
He went to his boss and he said, I don't really know how to fix this, but this isn't right. And so his boss went to the plant manager, the head guy, and he said, well, we need to get some technicians from that company in here to make sure we get this straightened out. So I really think that is a strength.
Oh, for sure.
Being able to see how things work well and look at different perspectives.
Mm-hmm.
And also, these people tend to get the gist. They may, for instance, this is a good example. In that situation I just told you, he didn't know how to fix that, but he got a big idea of it. This is something's wrong here, and it's could be causing this financial difficulty. So the CEO, the man, his name was Douglas Merrill, who eventually served as an early CEO of Google, did terrible in school. He really struggled. But then he went on to Princeton and he did a lot of research about learning and artificial intelligence. And he was a great problem solver. Mm-hmm. So he had these amazing eye strengths. So
solving is so important.
It is so important. And these are the things I want my students to know.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
This reading thing, it's tricky, and we may not spell the words right every time, but my goodness, if we have eye strengths, we can design computer software.
Yeah.
This groundbreaking work in artificial intelligence was done by a man who has dyslexia, and that's huge.
Yeah. And what a great part that person can play in a family or a group of friends, you know. Box thinker. I just think that's so valuable.
Yes. These eye strength dyslexics are really good designers, fashion designers and clothing designers. They're good dancers and choreographers. Can you see that, how they can put that whole together? Musicians, comedians, trainers, political science and sociologists. Think about that. If you're an out of the box thinker, I mean, think how good that would be in politics to be able to think of other ways to solve really big problems that we have in our world. Philosophy. Okay, here's the trade-off, Laura.
All right.
I have some difficulty with fast, fine detail processing.
Okay. Well, you know, that kind of goes along with being able to see the big picture, you know,
thinking about
the details might go away.
Yeah. So that's the I strength. So we have material reasoning, interconnective reasoning, and the next one, N, stands for narrative reasoning.
Okay.
That's being able to create very vivid mental images. They have really good episodic memories. That's why we use lots of stories when we're teaching, because they can they just commit those stories to memory, and that they create these movies in their mind.
Yeah.
They have great personal memory, which we call episodic memory, and they are able to write so vividly. They're very good writers because they've got all this imagery in their mind, and they
can. That's a great story in their head. They can see it.
Yeah, Patricia Polacco. They
can communicate it maybe verbally.
Yeah. Yes. Patricia Polacco,
mm-hmm.
dyslexic. Henry Winkler, really good writer, dyslexic. The dyslexics with strong end strengths turn life experiences into these long-term memories. My daddy was so good at this. He was an amazing storyteller. And I think I've told this on this podcast before, but he would tell these stories and remember all these things that happened from his childhood and just growing up. And I remember telling him, Daddy, do you know why you're good at that? No, why? Because you're dyslexic and you have a really good episodic memory. That's a gift mm-hmm. you have. They're often called the historians of the family. So for these people, remembering stimulates events. It's almost like they relive those episodes or those experiences they have.
I say a lot of times, oops, sorry about that, that it's when sometimes somebody says something, it's like I can press play in my mind and see it rolling out. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if that's kind of like what's happening in their brains.
I think so. It's different than creating long-term memory semantically or impersonally, like data or something that doesn't have context.
Mm-hmm.
That may be a problem for them. It's got to have context. That's why mm-hmm. the story, creating a story that goes along with whatever lesson we're learning. There are some sight word cards that I want to link and I want to make a post on them. But with each sight word card, I'm using the word sight word. Let's use the word irregular words.
Okay.
There's a picture that goes with it and a story on the back.
Oh.
To work with your kids. And we'll link that and then we'll make a separate post on our Instagram and Facebook. You can get them from Amazon and they're really good.
Oh, that's so great, Kim.
They're really good. I use them with one of my students who really has a real hard time transferring those to long-term memory.
You know, just thinking that would be great for all kids.
I know.
Those irregular words are so hard for so many kiddos.
I know. At Lindsay's school, Lindsay's children go to a school in Oklahoma City, and their history is, I think it's called the story of the world, but mm-hmm. it's all in narrative form.
I love that.
Being able to remember when the Declaration of Independence was signed or something, some treaty it's an abstraction and there's nothing to go with that. But if we create a story for kids and give them visual, help them create a mind memory or a story in their mind, then they can commit those things to memory. I think that's where we're missing the boat with history.
Oh, I do too. And that Stanford University, they really try to, they have an approach that you can Google Stanford University, Reading Like a Historian is.
Oh, I have that book.
Oh, it's well, I don't,
so good.
Oh, I didn't know they had a book. But anyway, I use their website and their resources. Gosh, I've been doing it probably for 10 years with history teachers, just trying to get history told like a story. It is a story. And so why not? You know,
yeah.
I was just telling Luke the other day, he's learning about the Civil War. And I said, man, we need Lin-Manuel Miranda, who wrote Hamilton, to make a Civil War play.
Yes. Said,
we know the American Revolution because we can sing it.
Yes.
And hear it. And we need that with a Civil War too.
Yeah. Narrative reasoners not only remember experience as well, but they're able to imagine the future.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
Maybe because they can see it in a story too.
They can see it in a story and they can test out possible hypotheses in their minds and kind of, they're good inventors. They can propose things.
Mm-hmm.
They're good writers. They have the ability to assemble and reassemble different aspects of experiences.
This is why so many kids, I think, go below the radar, because you can have these great, rich conversations with them.
Mm-hmm.
It's so troublesome when you see them with their reading problems or their writing problems, mm-hmm. and it just doesn't add up because you know you're having, you know.
It's a brilliant brain.
Mm-hmm.
It's just wired up differently.
Yeah.
Pulitzer Prize-winning poet Philip Schultz is dyslexic. Musician John Lennon, Anne Rice, who wrote The Interview with a Vampire.
Oh, okay.
They're all in strength dyslexics. They make good poets, good songwriters, good writers, good journalists, good screenwriters. Can you imagine? I wonder if Nora Ephron was dyslexic. I loved her so much. I love her. They make really good therapists and counselors, because think about that. They can kind of make some predictions, and they make good coaches. They make really good public speakers because they can tell stories.
Yeah.
I would imagine they might be pretty good comedians, wouldn't you?
I think so.
Yeah. Yeah. But there is the negative side. They cannot remember simple, basic facts.
Mm.
They have a hard time transferring that to long-term memory. It's why we have to use that gift of their episodic memory to help them learn
stories.
They have to experience it. It's why doing experiments or hands-on activities are so critical for those children.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, so I just believe so crucial for all children too.
Oh, I do too. I know Cherry Frierson, who started the Apple Group, I remember her saying, this is good for all kids. Uh-huh. It is essential for our kids.
Okay, that's good. It's really great for all, but it's essential. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So we've got material reasoning, interconnective, narrative reasoning, and then the last one is the D strengths, and that's dynamic reasoning.
Okay.
And this really is about taking in information and using this information to make predictions about the past or about the future. It's the ability to notice patterns. They see patterns. Even if all the information is not there, they can fill in the missing information by making predictions.
Okay.
They're really good at dealing with change, and they're okay with the uncertainty because they can fill in the gaps from looking at data. They have really good insight. So the D strengths add additional predictive ability to the N strength. So imagine if you've got narrative ability and then you add in these D strengths.
Mm-hmm.
Now that dyslexics, I feel like, have all of these strengths, but some of us have
more dominant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Very handy for doing things like predicting financial markets. Working in that field, that would be really good because you look at the data, you make decisions. Investors, really good investors. Uh-huh. They can look at the past and they can look at what's happening. And even though they don't have all the information, they can use some data to make some pretty good predictions about what might happen. Yeah. They don't only get the gist, but they can understand outcomes without having to access all the information. Let's see. Vince Flynn struggled mightily in school. I'm reading this from Kathleen Dunbar Network, dunbarnet.net, and she has written a lot about the mind strengths. But he was author of 12 counter-terrorism-themed novels. His ability to predict and express were so startling that after his publication of Memorial Day, he was contacted by officials at the Department of Energy because they were certain that he had been fed classified information.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that cool?
That is cool.
That is so cool. They're good as CEOs. Can you see how they can manage all that? Venture capitalists, small business owners, business consultants, investors, tax doctors, especially.
Check that out.
Especially people in specific medical fields like oncology. If I'm a dynamic reasoner and I have some information about this type of cancer, some information about these types of medicines, I would be really good at planning what would be the best course of action and protocol for immunology, rheumatology. They also make good farmers and ranchers. They're really good with their powers of intuition. When they're often seen as kind of daydreamers.
Okay.
Yeah. Kind of being passive. They stare out the window.
Like they're filling in the gaps with
they are. Yes. Non-dyslexics may understand the nature of how they work. They don't get that that's how they're working things out. And they need time to think. They get their answers quickly, but they have to learn how to explain their processes to other people. So that's a part that's difficult for them because it just makes sense to them.
Yeah.
So those are the mind strengths. You can go to dyslexicadvantage.org and get a lot of good information from them that you can... get the book, The Dyslexic Advantage. If you are a teacher, I highly recommend reading it or studying about the different mind strengths so you can guide your students in a way that builds on their strengths.
Yeah. It's crazy that this conversation has come up because on Sunday, my middle son is going through confirmation. So we're members of the Methodist Church. And when you're Methodist, you go through confirmation at about sixth grade. And we were sent a spiritual gifts survey.
Oh, I love those.
I do too. So Brock, my husband, was asked to do it. I was asked to do it. And then Lawson did it. And then we were guided through talking about our spiritual gifts. And it was so fun to be intentional about talking to Lawson. Like, the preacher prompted the kids to share what they felt they were strong in. And then also sharing their results from their survey. And then for us to share. And then I even prompted Lawson. I said, what strengths do you see in your brothers? And he was spot on.
Really?
It was so good. But two things I think were helpful is just the intentional time of, focusing on your strengths and that our brains were broadened on the options of gifts. Or talent or strengths. And that's what I think you just did for us with those, because those are not always typical things, leadership and things like that. But, it's so good for our brains to be stretched like that. And our preacher, at the end of it, he talked to the kids and said, one question you're going to be asked often throughout your life is, what are you going to be when you grow up? And he challenged the kids to really think about what strengths they have and to know that those might change. You might have, but most of the time your strengths are going to stay consistent. Mm-hmm. But to really focus more on how can I use my strengths now in school and in the world, and then how can I use them in the future instead of just zoning in on what job I'm going to do?
That's great.
Yeah.
I love that.
So I think this would be something great for us to do as teachers. Of course we would do it at the beginning of the year, but why not now? To really zone our kids' attention in on what their strengths are, and then how can how can we contribute that strength to our classroom, mm-hmm. school, and into our community?
I think so.
Be beautiful.
It would be. It would be. Oh. I think if we live in a world where everybody gets a label,
mm-hmm. yeah,
and everybody has something wrong with them, and you know, Robin Robbins. Is that her name, Robin Robbins, on ABC?
On VMA or whatever.
Yeah.
I know who you're talking
about. Robin Roberts. She wrote that book, Everybody's Got Something. And it's true. Everybody's got something. Everybody does. But everybody has lots of gifts and strengths, and we should use them. And we really need to help our students see what they're good at.
And then activate it, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I just think we live in a very, very, very negative world.
We do.
And we've got to find some ways to combat it. And that, what a great way to do it.
I had a student one time, I taught him in second grade, and I'd gotten my list. You know, you always get your list the year before mm-hmm. when school's out of who your students are going to be next year. And there were teachers who would look at my list and say, oh, no, you got so-and-so. Oh, goodness, he's a handful. And I remember Sharma Arshri, I did my student teaching with her 100 years ago, but she always told me when people do that, just think, well, this just means that this child needs some extra time and extra attention. Just don't listen to it. But I would always just say, please don't tell me that. I'll just figure it out. But, and I remember Ashley saying, no, she's serious. She does not want to know that kind of stuff. But I did. I didn't.
Yeah.
But he could have been a handful, but he was an amazing artist. So I told him, I said, you're going to be the art director for our classroom. You know, in schools, you're always doing some kind of project. And I was like, that's who you are. You are the art director. You are in charge. I never had a problem with that student. Not once. He was fine for me. Now, he might get in trouble on the playground, but
yeah.
Well,
I think you gave me a great segue to give some insight onto our next episode. So our next episode is going to be all about cultivating meaningful connection. And so we're going to be able to use this information not only with our students, but at home and out in the places we go. And I'm super pumped about it. So we're going to be, Kim and I are studying up for the next episode, but we're really focusing on that connection because I think teachers, that's the number one thing we need to be doing.
It's 100%.
Yeah. It's backdooring management. It's backdooring, you know, helping kids get motivated and included and involved. It's just the good stuff. So
it is. I'm excited about that one. Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Well, thanks for joining us, people. Please share this because, man, think about how many people can benefit from hearing about some different strengths that they might not have heard about before and can maximize it in their classroom.
Yeah, for sure.
Thanks for teaching me, Kim.
You're welcome. And I guess we'll see you all or hear from you, or you'll hear from us actually.
Yes.
Next week, if you have comments or questions or there's something you want to know more about, be sure to shoot us an email or comment on our social media because we want to hear from you.
Absolutely.
Share and download.
Happy week.
Happy week.
Weekend to us. Happy week to you.
That's right. See you next time.